Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BiteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Alaya Dow, and she is author of Seven Cups of Consciousness. Imagine a life filled with happiness and purpose where you are connected with a divine and perfect aspect of yourself, protected and guided by a loving angelic presence. Deep inside, you feel creative, passionate, and joyful, and all that is reflected in every moment of your daily life. In Seven Cups of Consciousness, change your life by connecting to the higher realms. Trailblazing spiritual leader and author Alaya Dow shares how this kind of life becomes possible when you learn to consciously connect with the resources in the higher realms. Alaya is a sound healer, energetic practitioner, minister in the state of California, doctor of oriental medicine in New Mexico, and a licensed acupuncturist in Colorado. She has been an alternative healer for 20 years. Alaya graduated from Lewis and Clark University in Portland, Oregon, and earned her master's degree in oriental medicine from the Southwest Acupuncture School in Santa Fe, New Mexico. She practiced in Telluride, Colorado for 7 years before moving to Santa Barbara, California, where she serves an international clientele as a spiritual guide and sound healer. You can find out more about Alaya by visiting her website, which is alayadow.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. As well in the show page description is a direct link to her album called Light Body Sound Healing, and that's available at soundstrue.com. And again, there is a direct link to that as well in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Alaya to the show. Good day, Alaya.
Thank you, Robert.
I'm ready to get connected.
Beautiful. I think we all are, right? Like, we all want deeper levels of connection.
that is the truth. That is the truth, particularly in these days. But I always like to start my show by having my guest give a little bit of a background about their journey. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about your journey and how you became a sound healer, energetic practitioner, and spiritual guide.
It's actually been a slow, gentle, fairly graceful process and evolution, and constantly reinventing myself as a healer. And I actually started off at a really young age intrigued by healing pathology, the body, consciousness, meditation. I remember I was at camp and was introduced to transcendental meditation, I think, at the age of 10. And so my journey started very early on. And then when I was in college, I kept driving by the massage school, and I was getting my BA in English, but it wasn't really my passion. And my mom, my very wise mother, said, I'll make a deal with you. If you finish college in 4 years, I will pay for you to go to massage school while you're in college. And so essentially my junior year in college, I double majored, and then my senior year started my first private practice as a massage therapist, and then went on and became a Reiki master, and then went on and got my master's in oriental medicine. And so after about 10 years of being in private practice in alternative health, I then had an enlightenment experience. And fortunately, I had had 10 years preparing me for that shift in consciousness, but it still took me about 3 to 5 years to fully integrate this greater awareness, empathic sensitivity, and perception of other dimensions and realms. And so in 2001, I was lying on a sound table, and a bright white light passed over me, and I was filled with this different awareness, different levels of consciousness. And then it took me again, 3 to 5 years to really integrate that. And the book, Seven Cups of Consciousness, is actually a result of those seven concepts that I use to maintain high levels of awareness with empathic sensitivity, cultivating greater compassion, manifesting, helping my body evolve. So it's really a result of that enlightenment experience and then all of the years of integrating that.
Wow, that must have been something, that experience. I mean, so with that, you know, laying on a sound table and then having that, so is that what where the focus for the sound healing came from?
Yeah, after that enlightenment experience, I actually started hearing what I call the angelic choir, beings in another realm singing to me almost 24/7, and it was so soothing and supportive and beautiful and lovely. And I remember at one point, I think a year or two after my enlightenment experience and the angelic choir singing, my guide saying to me, Alea, you're going to be singing for other people and helping them shift their consciousness with your sound. And I was like, get out of here. There's no way. I'm not going to be like, whoa. And and so I sort of said that, you know, I mean, I was basically a closet toner. When you use your voice and toning, it's called toning, to shift my own energy. And then I started having these dreams where the dolphins and the whales were showing up, and they would say, Leah, come kayaking. And when I would show up at the beach at the time that they told me to be there, they would be swimming out in the water, and I would get in my kayak and paddle out. And they'd swim all around me, and I would essentially start having a telepathic conversation with them, and they would show me how to use my voice to spin it around particular vertebra and hold it in particular chakras and emit very particular vibrations and sounds in multiple dimensions. And so it was really the dolphins and the whales in the physical realm communicating with me, connecting with me, the angelic ones showing me how to use my voice to help me shift my consciousness, my blocks, and then eventually I did start doing it with other people, and from that place have actually done 5 albums, and I'm working on another 5 right now as we speak.
Wow. Well, and I did listen to your samples of your music there on Sounds True. Really wonderful, very soothing. I mean, that's the kind of music that, I mean, I could just sit back. I do a little bit of writing. I'm working on my 3rd book right now, and that's the kind of music that is perfect for the background and generating inspiration. I mean, for me, that's the kind.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely puts you into altered states.
Yes, exactly. And it makes writing so much easier. So for your writers out there. Oh, goodness.
That's
well,
great.
You know, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone call themselves a closet toner before, but that's,
I'm out of the closet now.
There we go. And yeah, and it sounds like you did a great job coming out of that closet too. So, well, you know, one of the things, do you feel that the sound healing is going to be becoming more readily accepted, you know, because I mean I know that there are many forms of healing, you know, that kind of, or different modalities that people use, and sound I know is just one of those that has been for so long underrated, you know, in my opinion. So do you think that we're kind of shifting more toward an acceptance and an embracement of sound as far as its healing properties?
I do, and I think that, you know, we've all used music and sound to heal. When we listen to classical music or we listen to the oceanscape, that's actually sound healing. I think what's really going to happen is we're going to become more conscious of how we use the sound. And in Germany, I think this is true, but they actually will play people very specific sounds to help them heal the pathology in their body. And it's the prescription medication in the hospitals of sound healing. So I think, you know, America's usually a few decades behind Europe in terms of the physical pathology healing Western medicine. And so when we really look at sound healing and bringing it more into our daily life and into medicine, I think that it has incredibly powerful and It's just about doing it with more consciousness, more awareness, and as people start to crave higher consciousness and more coherent energy, they will start gravitating towards the mechanisms, the vibrations, the sounds, the modalities that help them hold and sustain that higher consciousness.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the seven cups of consciousness. So tell us a little bit about the process surrounding, you know, you indicated that, you know, that experience, enlightenment experience, kind of was the genesis, maybe the seed for the seven cups. So would you mind kind of telling us a little bit more about its creation?
Absolutely. I was actually using these concepts for about 5 to 6 years and used them to find my beloved partner. And one day I was getting on a plane, flying back to Telluride to see my clients, and as I'm getting on the plane saying goodbye to my beloved, he said, "What are the concepts you use and that you've been using to help your clients and that you've used to create an entirely new reality for yourself in the last, 5 years?" And I pondered that question, and so I'm on the plane at 26,000 feet, and I drop into meditation, and I ask my higher self and my guides, like, what are the concepts or the principles or the ideas that I'm practicing? And literally within a minute, 2 minutes, I scribble down these seven sentences. And over the last 10 years have been unpacking these seven concepts and bringing in protocols and tools and going deeper into these seven sentences, and have actually been teaching it to a handful of students. And I remember after one of the last intensives for a teacher's training of the seven cups, five of my students came to me individually at separate times in that weekend and said to me, "Alea, it has taken me 7 years to understand seven sentences." And so when we really embody these seven concepts inside ourselves, we have a roadmap, a blueprint, a template of how to navigate our life and also manifest and change and resolve our challenges when we use these seven ideas. And then the practices, the protocols, prayers, whatever you want to call it, that are embedded in each one of those concepts.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about them shortly, listeners, but one of the things that I noticed when I was reading in your book is that, you know, the as far as the seven cups, the statements that, you know, as far as each individual is concerned, some may resonate more than others, you know, and that as far as the length of time that it takes to grasp, like you indicated, that one particular student, 7 years, you know, for the seven sentences, that it, you know, the time is variable depending on the student, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, one of the concepts might really ring true and the other ones don't. Well, that's fine. Literally just using one of them is going to help start the shift in a more conscious, in an even more conscious and efficient way. And my little confession is I'm actually a fairly impatient person. And so whatever mechanism I'm using, I want it to be streamlined. I want it to be efficient. I want it to work. And I have spent much, much time figuring out the formula that will change the inner world, which inevitably reflects into the outer world and then starts drawing different scenarios to me that I'm really, truly intending instead of feeling like this isn't the life I want to be living.
Yeah. I'm one of those too that likes things happening, if not now, then yesterday.
And so I spin it and I say, okay, make whatever you want to have happen immediately in a higher realm.
Okay.
And then
good.
It's being created up there. You're receiving it up there using your energy self. And as you receive it and experience it on that higher floor or that other dimension, it starts reflecting into this one. And so it's really great for people that want it now. Great, get it now, but get it in a higher realm.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, it kind of takes the pressure off of witnessing it in the physical realm right at the moment. You know
yeah,
go ahead and, yeah.
Pressure is the key operative word. You are right on target there, because when we hold the pressure and our attachment for it to happen up in that higher dimension, that actually accelerates the amplification reflection. If we're really attached to it here in the physical realm, it sinks it like a ton of bricks. And so attachment is great if we hold it in the appropriate dimension.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I'm going to be adjusting my intentions as of now.
Beautiful.
Well, now, okay, what made you decide to write this book?
I had been doing, in 2009, I started recording what is called the daily meditations or daily cups of consciousness. And a year before I started recording those daily meditations, I had my private practice and would be working with people in person and over the phone. And then as my practice got busier, I started getting the emergency phone calls from people of, Alea, I just need a 10-minute check-in. Are you available? Because I just had this crisis happen in my life. And after a few months of getting 5, 10, 15 phone calls a week from clients just needing a little shot of Alea, I thought, how can I help more people, and how can I help the people that I am helping move into greater degrees of empowerment so they don't really need me, so that they can learn the tools for shifting their own energy? And then one of my clients said to me, Alea, if I could only bottle you and just sort of take a little swig of that vibration of peace and calm during my day. And that actually got me thinking in a fairly humorous way of what could I do, what could I create that would help people. And I started recording these little 5 to 7 minute audio meditations in 2009 and delivering them via email and through an app. And then from that, I've been actually writing this book for about a decade. And my lovely agent, Deborah Jacobs, knows that I only do things when I have a deadline. And so I really hadn't written the book. I just had these ideas. I probably had 200 pages of just ramble poems and protocols. And she started shopping the book around and said, you know, get me a book proposal and sample chapters, and here's your deadline. And so I did it in New World Library. Amazing New World Library. They picked it up and they said, we really believe in this book and we hope you can write it. And they were incredibly supportive during the process because it was my first book. And a first book is kind of like a first child. You don't have any idea about what you're going to go through. And it's really intense. It's like an initiation process, as you know. You're on your third book now. And so that is kind of the result of the seven cups is doing those daily meditations, having clients, wanting to share the tools with a larger audience, people asking me to write the book, and my lovely friend, agent, Deborah, reminding me that not everybody has an angelic Bluetooth, and that I do, and if I can use that angelic Bluetooth and write some of these concepts down and help people in a bigger way, it's a beautiful thing.
It is. It's great. You know, and you know, the book is just such a wonderful way of being able to help raise awareness, and the fact that it's, you know, we have this, you know, worldwide availability, and I know the Shures is available on Kindle, so, you know, people can get the ebook as well. You know, it makes it so much easier to be able to share the knowledge, you know, and kind of get people to, you know, pick it up, you know, where, you know, before it was, you know, very difficult to get a message out worldwide.
Definitely. And also I think that a lot of people that are on the spiritual path feel really lonely and kind of isolated. Like, well, I can't really talk to my boss about my higher self talking to his higher self. Or I can't really talk to my husband or my child that they have a body deva. And so I'm hoping that the book is shared appropriately with people that are open to these ideas, and then there can be a conversation that begins to happen, and we start looking at our lives and solving problems and challenges from a different perspective that's a bit more empowered.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, let's take, first of all, I do want to let listeners know at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take just a quick 90-second break, And if you have any questions that you would like for me, you would like to call in and ask Alea, you can call in at 619-789-4359. For those of you who are listening live in the chat room, and a shout out to Rihanna there listening to us in the UK. If you have any questions, feel free to type them in the chat room, and I'll be sure to pass it on to Alea right after the break. Okay, well, let's go ahead and start talking about some of the seven cups and what some of these statements are. So I told Rihanna to go ahead, and she said that she resonates very well with that number seven, that the sevens are, you know, highly, you know, present in her life. And so I told her to make sure she had a pen and paper out to write them down and to be able to follow them. And then, of course, get your book. But so let's go ahead and start.
Yeah, the first cup. Shall I just sort of dive in?
Yes.
And
explain? Yeah, right in.
Beautiful. So the first cup talks about the idea that we live in a multidimensional reality. The physical dimension is just one floor of the building, and we have all of these other floors that we can access. And we start changing the energy in these higher realms, and it starts positively impacting our physical experience. The second cup talks about the idea that you are never alone. You have guides, angels, a team that surrounds you. And the second cup really goes into how to ask your team, your guides and your angels, how to support you. When we make these requests of these beings, there are very particular ways that they can hold their energy that will then positively impact us. The third cup talks about the idea of changing your inner world. And as your inner world changes, it's reflected in a positive way into your outer world. The fourth cup, your challenges can help you grow. And I kind of think of Earth as the gym. And when we get really conscious that we are here cultivating very particular vibrations inside ourselves, and we do that consciously, it ends up being a lot more gentle, a lot more graceful, and suffering goes out the window. The fifth cup is the idea that your body is a nature spirit. You are not your body, but you are riding in it, kind of like a car or riding a horse. And so when we start to recognize our body has its own unique consciousness, and we are recognizing our own unique consciousness, and the saddle is the front of the spine, and we snuggle ourselves in our saddle, we start to enjoy the ride to a much greater degree. And then the sixth cup is your soul has wisdom and inner gifts, and the journey is about discovering what those gifts are, holding those vibrations on yourself, and modeling that in the world. And then the seventh cup, my favorite, you are perfect. There is a river of light that flows within you, and when you inhale and pull yourself into that inner river, and you feel your divine perfection there, self-love increases, self-worth increases, you are connecting more deeply with your essence, and you start then creating a life that is filled with those inner vibrations.
Okay, wow, boy. There's so much in that. I can see why it took that one student 7 years. Like, wow, why do we begin? I mean, we could talk for days and years about just a multidimensional reality.
I know. One cup could be one book.
Oh, exactly. I see volumes in your future. Well,
I do, you know, too.
Well, that's good. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit, you know, in deeper detail about them if we can. Is that all right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start with the multidimensional reality. Now, this is really interesting. When I was doing my first book, I had I'm a nature walker. Every morning I kind of do my little nature walk, and that kind of gets me all balanced and all set for my day. And there was one day the plot for my first book came to me, and it was like I had been trying to write this book for 12 years. You know, I was told by an intuitive person, you know, in the 90s that actually in the year that I wrote it, that I was going to write one. I'm thinking, oh my God! So I thought, I'm not going to wait that long. You know, I'm going to go ahead and write it ahead of time. And my background was in corporate training, so up until then, every attempt I did was like a training manual. It was like,
right.
This is boring. This is very boring. And then one day it you know, the plot came to me on a walk, but I was probably about 2 or 3 months into the writing of it, and then one day I came up, there's lakes nearby where I live, and I came up to the lakeside, and all of a sudden I just had this, and I consider it a multi-dimensional experience, in that mm-hmm. it was, I kind of envisioned the plot line, but then simultaneously it was like I had 6 or 7 different pathways of it. I mean, immediately, all at once. And I was sitting there. I mean, I was stopped and I was standing. I was like, you know, this is really wild. But, I mean, it was like watching 7 different screens at the same time, which,
wow.
you know, for me was not very easy. But I mean, it was one of those experiences that it. I mean, I haven't had one since like that. But I mean, to me, it was, you know, it was like the idea of, you know, each of these visions or screens could be a reality or a different dimension of the way that things could turn out. So in a way, I kind of experienced, you know, the fact that we are multidimensional in many ways. But to me, I wonder, you know, how do we? For me, that was great because then I knew that I had a choice in actions. I could create one, I could travel down one particular way and, you know, kind of experience that dimension. And to me, it was freeing. And I thought, now how can, you know, and I love that. So my thought is that the kind of experience that one would have that would be kind of multidimensional? And then the second thing with it is, if that's the case, then how do we integrate that into our daily life?
That is a really great question. And I think that everybody has their own unique experience. And so it's really important that we, just because our experience isn't like, you know, so-and-so's experience, that it didn't happen. And so however we perceive this multidimensional experience is absolutely perfect for where we are and the information that we need. Even when we go into a dream, we're actually having a multidimensional experience. When we close our eyes and we imagine or we fantasize or we create in our minds, we're actually tapping into another dimension.
Okay.
And so when we get that information or have that experience in that other dimension, we then start to feel the ripple reflection of it in the physical plane. It affects our emotions, our thought forms, and possibly even our body. And so when we start to do this at a more conscious level, we want to use the aspects of ourselves that are also higher dimensional aspects, which is divine line and your higher self. It's kind of like if I want to send an email, I have to be on a computer and I have to be online.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to connect with another dimension, I have to pull myself into my divine line, that river of light on the front of my spine, because that gets me basically into my inner higher dimensional self so I can send the email, so that I can have an experience. But if I use my mind to do it, it doesn't work as well. And that is the difference with a lot of the techniques and protocols and concepts, is we're not using our mind. We're using our higher self. Now, we might use our mind just to bring our awareness into that inner river, but then we're asking our higher self to begin to activate very particular vibrations or receive particular information in a higher dimension. Then we let that energetic aspect of us absorb it up there, and as it's absorbing it, reflecting, as it's absorbing it, digesting it, integrating it, then it starts to reflect, and then we know. Then we're moved and inspired of how to navigate in our 3D world. So it's almost like all the solutions are being created in that higher realm. All we have to do is ask and then allow and let it happen.
Okay. Yeah, that's very important. Okay, well, gosh, we're halfway through the show, so I want to take that quick break that I mentioned. And again, if anyone wants to call in, feel free to call in, 619-789-4359. And again, if you're listening live in the chat room, if you have a question, feel free to pose it, and we will get to that right after the break. And then when we come back, Alea, you referenced in when you were talking about you know, that whole process, you mentioned the divine line. And so I'd like to kind of start with that when we come back from the break, if you could explain, because that's kind of like the method of trying to go ahead and get that information up there in that higher realm. So,
absolutely.
Okay. Great. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store, where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great, all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Alaya Dow, and she is author of Seven Cups of Consciousness, Change Your Life by Connecting to the Higher Realms. Again, you can find out more about Alaya by visiting her website, alayadao.com, and that's A-L-E-Y-A-D-A-O.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. And again, as well in the show page description is a direct link to her Light Body Sound Healing album, which is available at soundstrue.com. So check that out, and when you get there, click on the samples, listen to the samples, and then just download them and enjoy them. So with that, we're back. Alaya?
Hello. So the divine line,
yeah.
Do you want me to dive into that one?
Yeah, well, just before we do that, I did want to mention that, you know, you talked about you have the Daily Cups of Consciousness meditations, and I understand that our listeners can sign up for a free week of that, correct?
Absolutely. Everybody that's listening can go to cupsofconsciousness.com and get a free trial week, and it's basically seven meditations that introduce you to the concept of connecting with your divine line, connecting with your higher self. There's a little bit of sound healing music in that 7 week, in that 7 day free week. And people can also try a free sample of what I do, which is called the Tall Cups of Consciousness. And it's about a 45 minute to hour long energy balancing session where you are essentially using your higher self to move yourself into a higher consciousness, a more peaceful, empowered, supportive place. So both of those are available at Cups of Consciousness or alayadao.com.
Great. I just wanted to make sure that I got that in. It's as soon as you sign on to Alaya's website, you'll be able to see it stands right out. Get a free trial week. So, excuse me. So yes, let's go ahead and dive in. Now you talked briefly about the divine line and how we can use that to benefit us. So let's go ahead and explain what that is for the listeners.
Great. So it's essentially like getting online, getting into that part of you, your essence that is perfect and whole. And if you just imagine that you have a channel or a tube or a column of light that actually flows down the front of your spine, and you can use your inhale, you can close your eyes and take a deep breath in and imagine pulling yourself into this inner river of light, this vertical line. You can also ask your higher self to use your energy fields to pull yourself into this place, to lift all of your awareness, all your reference points, where you're holding your focus, off of the outer world and into your inner world. And then as you imagine standing being in this inner column of light, you're actually gaining access to your higher self. And when you are in your divine line, holding your awareness there, then you make the request that your higher self activate particular vibrations or release particular challenges or activate the solution of what your soul is intending on mastering. It's sort of like getting online to make a request or a prayer or a protocol. So we take a breath every couple minutes, or rather several times a minute, and we can use that inhale to get ourselves into that connected place.
Okay, yeah, I like the visual of it being in front of the spine, kind of, you know, that, to me, that makes it easier for, you know, that visualization for me, you know, to be able to kind of, you know, get into that energy work. All right.
And there, you know, it's interesting, after my enlightenment experience, just talking about that river of light, in ancient texts and a lot of the spiritual teachings, they talk about this beam of light within us. And when I had that enlightenment experience, I actually felt my line of light on the front of my spine, and then I felt my body's line of light in its spine. So literally two lines of light in the body. And as I explored that more deeply, after those, you know, during those first few years, I realized that my body has its own consciousness. And when we are holding our awareness on our own inner river, controlling that energy, then the body starts holding higher vibrations in its divine line that runs through the spine. So it's really working these two lines of light.
Yeah, when I read that, I thought it was interesting. It's kind of like two different channels, one connecting upward and one downward, you know, one connecting, like grounding to the earth, and the other one is reaching up into the ethers in a way.
Yeah, that's a great way of perceiving it. Kind of also think of it like a PC and a Mac operating in the same system.
Okay. So for all of our techies out there, they can really get into that particular one. Yeah, well, you know, it's different operating systems, different, we're living in a multi-dimensional reality is the first cup. And then the second one is you are never alone. You know, you mentioned, you know, we were talking earlier about how, you know, you wrote the book because there are people out there who, you know, may not feel comfortable about talking to their boss about, you know, my higher self to your higher self kind of thing. But in this particular sense, you're talking about our etheric helpers in a way that we're never
alone. Our guides, angels, spirit guides. As a child, you may have remembered having imaginary friends. And those imaginary friends are actually your team. And so you get to ask your team to be the buffer to support you in another dimension that is like literally a finger breath away. So imagine having 5 or 6 or 8 or 3 or 10 beings of love and light that really want to help you in your journey. And they're holding very particular vibrations like patience or confidence or clarity inside themselves. And as they hold that energy inside themselves, that starts to positively impact you. Your energy fields start to hold a higher vibration, mirroring this higher vibration that you're being exposed to in another dimension. Our guides, on the other hand, they come and go depending on what's going on in our life. So if I go into a healing session with someone, I go in with my team, but then my healing guides show up. And after the healing, they take off. Or if I'm learning how to fly a plane, I might have guides that are really great master pilots who are coming and helping and guiding me. So depending on the situation that we're in, we'll get different guides. We might have guides that are with us in our youth, and then they cycle out, and we get new guides when we get older. It really varies on the individual. But your team, they're with you 24/7 and never leave your side, hopefully.
Yeah, I think my patience one takes a vacation every now and then.
So you can also ask your team to go master patience and then come back, you know, 5 minutes later and model it to you.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, you know, I love this because these are you know, when I kind of, I am the type that I have, it was very difficult for me to work my way into understanding energy and working with all of that kind of stuff. And so, you know, when it comes time, I mean, gosh, it was probably in the late 90s and like early 2000, I had a reading from someone who basically the message was, is that, you know, we're talking, but you're not listening, which is like, okay, I can understand that. It's like, you know, you're talking a foreign language to me, so you got to kind of, you know. But so, you know, any tip, any way that I can help, you know, strengthen, you know, that communication or to make it clearer to me is a wonderful tool.
Absolutely, and that's a really great question and a great piece because, you know, our culture really trains us to be in the mind, the linear place, and people that are very, very smart have very strong minds, which is great, which means you've got a really strong mouse. I'm using a computer analogy, and you get to take your mind, your mouse, your mind is also your computer screen, and you get to double-click on your hard drive. And when we use our mind to hold a focal point on the aspect of us that is really, really capable, amazing things start to happen. And so really think of the mind, the skeptic, as an asset. You can hold the focal point. Imagine your higher self doing it. You don't have to figure out how that's happening. You simply use the mind to make the request. And then you wait. And you hold the container, kind of like asking for your assistant to write up a press release. You make the request, give them all the information, and then you hang out and you sip a cup of tea. And then we start to feel it shifting in this higher realm, reflecting into our conscious awareness. So the mind is a beautiful thing when we use it as a focal point and a requester, and then we let the higher self, the hard drive, be the doer.
Okay. I like that. Yep, I can use that visual. That works for me. So that's great. Yeah. Now, one of the other cups that in the seven cups is that I'm going to skip over. No, I shouldn't skip over that.
Please, change your inner world. You don't have to go in order.
No, I know. No, I was going to say I'm going to skip over change your inner world. But you know, I can't really do that because that's really what you need to start. So, you know, maybe that's my problem.
What cup did
skipping
you
want
to go? To? No, what cup did you want to go to?
Well, no, I want to talk about the body. I want to make sure that we get into the ride right in your body.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, let's go ahead and do
then
that.
And then we can go into the changing your inner world because
the
body piece also, when the body's holding its own energy inside itself and its divine line, it starts changing, you know, the inner world and then the outer world. And so the body, Deva, nature, spirit is literally, from my perspective, a nature consciousness. It is from Earth, of Earth. It is made of the elements of this Earth. And when you ride a horse, you don't think you're the horse. You're also not reaching into the belly of the horse trying to make sure it digests food appropriately. And you're not eating the food the horse eats. You've got your own food. Same with your car. You don't drink gasoline. That would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we start recognizing that our body has its own unique consciousness, and we start recognizing our unique consciousness as souls, beings and beams of light, having an experience in the human form, our body starts moving into greater degrees of personal responsibility for getting its needs met. And then it moves into greater degrees of empowerment and self-awareness. And so the very first step is to imagine that you're riding a horse. And what kind of relationship do you want to have with your horse? Are you trying to control your horse, micromanage your horse? Are you beating your horse up? Are you projecting all your stuff onto your horse? Is the horse loving itself? And it's really the journey of creating a healthy co-creative experience instead of a codependent, blaming, shaming, feeling like a victim as we ride in the body. And so in that fifth cup, I give very specific exercises, protocols, and meditations, and even an audio meditation that's got a link in the book of how to feel the body consciousness of your physical human form and how it's different from your consciousness. And that's, I remember the first time that I was connecting with my body, Deva, there were a lot of layers there, but the end result was incredible empowerment that my body, Deva, was finally acknowledged and she acknowledged herself.
Hmm. Yeah, because right now, I mean, I have some, one friend in particular who is just experiencing constant body issues. I mean, it's kind of like her body is rebelling, you know, in
uh-huh.
a way. You know, and, you know, and it's, I mean, you know, we both kind of, you know, talk about and, you know, discuss all kinds of things of what is this symptomatic of, you know, that all that kind of stuff. But even though there is that awareness of our inner feeling, our inner being, state of being, you know, is reflected outward and into the body, it still seems like there is a disconnect. You know, like for yeah. her in particular. I mean, I have my issues, but she, I mean, like she's constantly misstepping, you know, and creating, I mean, all kinds of, you know, bruises and things to her legs. And, I mean, you know, it's just, and it's, we kind of shake our heads every time it happens, you know, that that she experiences that. But again, you know, now the way that you describe it as far as riding a horse and you know, when I envision that, I see, you know, the, you know, like the, I'm not sure, is it the, I forgot the term of the horses and the proper, the dancing and all that kind of, I forgot the term for that. But I mean, I see a synchronicity between the rider and the horse, you know, where
yeah.
they become one and it becomes a kind of a gliding, you know,
co-creative, yeah, collaborative,
exactly.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
that you're both going in a similar direction and you're controlling yourself, not each other. And there's this open line of communication and connection. And if we are resisting being in our body, we will energetically, literally lift our divine line off the front of our spine, almost like holding your butt off of the driver's seat in the car.
Mm.
And then the body feels that rejection, and it starts to go into all of its abandonment stuff, all of its self-worth, self-love issues come up, and the body feels like there's something wrong with it, that the rider isn't snuggled up firmly on the front of the spine. What's wrong with me? My soul rider doesn't want to be in me. What's going on? And so then the body starts feeling rejected. It gets angry. It gets sad. It might then start taking issues of other people. And then the body starts having some real challenges. And so the process of learning how to ride in the body can be a really beautiful one when we're doing it consciously. And many years ago, I was working with a client who was 6 years old at the time, and she was starting to have some body stuff coming up. And I checked to see how she was riding in her body, and she had been starting to smear herself on her arms, her legs, her belly, and was trying to control her body in a way that wasn't appropriate. And so I actually walked her through the process and had her higher self lift her energy off her arms, her legs, her belly, her butt, and just onto the front of her spine and to snuggle up on the front of her spine. And as soon as her energy fields did that, she opened her eyes and she looked at me and she goes, oh, Alea, I'm free again. And it was so sweet, because when we are just on the front of our spine controlling just the energy flowing in that divine line, we feel that freedom and connection. And then our body doesn't feel like it's being rejected. And then it starts holding more coherence, more flow, and we start reflecting this inner vibration that's held in your divine line as a soul, your body, Davis divine line, onto each other, which then positively impacts the chakras, the energy fields, the organs, the meridians, and the glands. And then the body starts being in control of itself and responsible for itself. It might stop hurting itself and rebelling.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. I'm going to make sure she listens to this portion of the show. Talking about those energy shifts, and I'd noticed in the beginning of your book, you talk about how many people are becoming, more empathic, and how it was important to recognize energy, set up boundaries, just some of the challenges of being more empathic in today's world. And the reason that I wanted to bring this up is because we have a listener, Rihanna, in the UK, and she was wondering, she also feels that she, has this shift. I mean, I know her. She is a very empathic individual. So with someone who has that strong awareness, when it comes time to kind of be grounded, I guess, for lack of a better term, how does someone who is, how do we kind of keep the body deva, grounded, when we are also kind of reaching upward?
Absolutely. That's a great question.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. And the more aware, the more enlightened, the more conscious we become, the mm-hmm. more empathic we will become. There is no mm-hmm. way out of it, because the more aware you become, the more compassionate you want to be. If you are highly evolved without compassion, that's called spiritual arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
So that empathic sensitivity that we feel of others is great information for us to know how another person is feeling, and then for us to know what information we need to energetically send them and what energy we need to hold inside ourselves and model to them. But if I can't feel another person's pain, I have no idea the vibration I need to hold inside myself and model to them or send to them. So anytime we are empathic, it's an indicator that we have energetic information for whomever we are feeling. And we want to use that energy self, our higher self, our body diva's higher self, our team, to send that energetic information. Our mind will not know what that information is. So we ask for that energetic email to go out to whomever we're feeling, and then we think about what we just felt and recognize that here's the discernment piece. What you were just feeling was not your own.
Mm-hmm.
You send the information that you have, and then you think about, well, what's the solution of what I was just feeling? So if you had inner anxiety, the solution would be calm. If you felt like a victim, it would be empowerment. If you had a headache, it would be not having a headache, right? It would be like this lovely,
mm-hmm.
balanced, peaceful state in the body. And so then you invite your higher self, your body diva's higher self, to hold the solution of that empathic sensation you were just experiencing. Then you hold compassion for whomever it was that you're feeling. You might not even consciously know. You're modeling a solution, you send the information, you hold compassion, and then the empathic sensitivity, that empathic sensation, goes away. I kind of think of this compassion as the very quick squeegee, those showers where you have the
uh-huh.
squeegee and it cleans
uh-huh.
the window. And
right.
so when we hold compassion in our heart with discernment that what we were feeling was not our own, we've sent the information, we're modeling a solution, the compassion piece is the key piece, and that clears the empathic sensations.
Okay.
And it took me years to figure out this formula, and I would thrash in empathic sensations for weeks at a time. And now it's maybe 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes if I really want to entertain myself in drama.
Okay. Well, I like that. That's good, because, that's the challenge. I believe many people whose empathy is on the increase is recognizing boundaries, not taking on those kinds of things, and so holding the solution it kind of keeps the distance between kind of taking it on as your feeling,
absolutely.
So that, yeah, okay. Wonderful.
Yeah,
I love
the
that.
Discernment piece. And in the book Seven Cups of Consciousness, one of the chapters at the very end of the book talks about empathic sensitivity and the steps to go through to clear it. And if we do take responsibility for other people's journeys, what happens is we are walking into the boot camp of spiritual arrogance. And the solution through or out of spiritual arrogance is to essentially get pummeled, and then you get humbled, and then you're no longer arrogant. Now, I personally wouldn't really want to go through lifetimes of being pummeled because I've held spiritual arrogance, because I think I was more capable at shifting somebody's issue than they are, right? That's not going to be a fun journey. So in the book, I give very specific steps about how to decrease that learning curve, and or rather shorten the learning curve so that it can be a more gentle, graceful one. You don't have to get pummeled to master humility.
Yeah, wow. Gosh, we're down to 3 minutes. Excuse me. So we have kind of filled up the hour real quickly, and we had so many more areas to cover. So I would just recommend for listeners to go online and get Alea's book, and you know then also they can find out what those protocols, you know, that you listen there. Those are really from my point, those are kind of the keys to being able to implement, you know, the seven cups into daily life. So, but before we go, I understand that you have a book circle starting October 22nd.
I do. For anybody that's purchased the book, they get to join the online or over the phone book circle, where we are going to go deeper into the concepts. I'm going to answer people's questions and really help people embody one concept at a time in all areas of their life.
Oh, that's great. What a wonderful supplement, you know, to getting the book. Well, is there anything maybe that you would like to share? I know we could talk for hours, but maybe any final words that you might want to share with the listeners about the Seven Cups of Consciousness?
I invite people to check out my Facebook page, because I post little insights or little practices usually once a day. I tune into the energetic weather also that's coming onto the planet every day, and sort of say, like, hey, today's a body day of a day, or hey, tap into the current of clarity that's coming onto the planet, so we can actually use the energetic weather, our higher selves, to help us in our growth and evolution, instead of having to use challenges, drama, relationships, finances, or even pathology in the body. So it's really about moving into a more conscious process of evolution and choosing our weights, our mechanisms for growth, instead of having them go on default. And it's just been an incredible joy and honor to be on your show, Robert. I really appreciate it. And I would say that one last little piece, if you take the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, every day, for literally 10 seconds, 30 seconds, ask your team to hold a particular vibration inside themselves, like connection, empowerment, clarity, whatever it might be, so that you are being positively supported and impacted by the ones that are existing in another dimension, and they so want to help you. Ask them to hold very particular vibrations and see what comes.
Oh, okay. That's great. Do I still have you there? Can you still hear me?
Robert, you've slipped into another dimension. Can you repeat that? Are you with me? Hello?
Hello there. Do I have you there?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I can
Sorry
hear you.
That.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. Okay, great. I've joined you on Facebook, like your page, so I look forward to following those. And especially the weather, I think that's going to be really a fun thing to do. So, again, I want to thank you very much for being my guest today. I really, truly enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
My pleasure. Okay, everyone, again, today my very special guest has been Alea Dow, and she is author of Seven Cups of Consciousness. And again, you can find out more about Alea by visiting her website, aleadao.com, and that's aleyadao.com. And again, there is a direct link to that website in the show page description. And also you can find out more about her music, the Light Body Sound Healing album, which is available at soundstrue.com. And again, I do have a direct link to that as well in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.